B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. We're going to start from the Mishnah, four lines from the top of the Omid. Says the Mishnah, Hakash shal gabe hamito. Straw that was on top of a bed, they would often lie on straw, and in this particular case, it was a place where straw was typically used as firewood. They would burn the straw, it was completely muktzah, and he wanted to lie on this straw that was muktzah. Muktzah, you're not allowed to move it. But if you don't move it, it's going to be very uncomfortable to sleep on it. Says the Mishnah, lo yina anenu biyodoi. You're not allowed to move it with your hands, it's muktzah. Aval menanoi begufoi. If whilst you're lying on it, you wriggle around in it with your body and straighten it out and make sure it's comfortable, that you're allowed to do. It's called tiltul min hatzad. It's moving something muktzah from the side, not doing it in a regular manner, doing it with your hands, and therefore it's mutter. In the event that it has been dedicated, this straw has been dedicated to be used as animal fodder, and as we've seen previously, animal food is not mukta. Or if on this pile of straw he'd already put a pillow or a sheet, and then he'd made it clear that he's dedicating it to use as a mattress, and it's not going to be slated to be used as firewood, and then it has the status of a kli. And it's not muktzah at all. Menanea b'yadoi, he's allowed to even move it regularly with his hands. Continues the Mishnah. Machbesh, which is a clothes press. The way the presses were made then is that they would have a plank of wood lying down, and there would be another plank that would be on that would lie on top of it, and they would put the clothes in between. And the way they would hold it closed and really press down the clothes is that on the four corners there would be some pegs going through the two planks, and then they would put pins through these pegs to hold down the top plank firmly onto the bottom plank with the clothes in between, and that's how they would press the clothes. So the Mishnah says, Machbesh shel balabatim, a homeowner's clothes press, matirin, in the event that from before Shabbos the clothes were in the press, you're allowed to release the press and remove the clothes on Shabbos. Avaloi kovshin, you're not allowed to insert the clothes into the press, because doing that, you would be doing it to prepare the clothes for after Shabbos, and that is not allowed. Vashel kovshin, however, a press that belongs to the launderers, which is obviously a much more bombastic contraption. Rashi says that the clothes would be very strongly and firmly tied into this, wedged into this press, and releasing this press would be similar to stira, to demolishing something that's a very firmly fixed, and then you're releasing it is soiser, is demolishing it, and you're not allowed to do anything, lo yigaboy, you're not allowed to touch it on Shabbos, even to release the clothes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hoyo mutar me'erev Shabbos, if somewhat the clothes press, even the ones from the launderers, were already somewhat released and it was not so tightly pressing them anymore, then matir eskuloi, then even on Shabbos you're allowed to release the rest of it, v'shem toy, in order to remove the clothes from it. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman, hai puglo, a radish, milamalo lamata, and we've seen this already a couple of times. In the event that it's in the ground, they would often submerge these radishes in the ground to protect them, to preserve them. If the radish was, the wide side of the radish was on top, and the point, the narrow side, was lower down, and then when you lift it out of the ground, there's no reason you should be moving any of the earth around it, because the widest part is on top, and the narrow part will just follow, then milamailo lemato ashori, you're allowed to pull it out on Shabbos. Milamato lemailo, if however the lower, narrower side of the radish is on top, and then if you were to lift it up, since the wider part of the radish is lower down, then whilst you're lifting up the radish, you're going to be moving aside some of the earth that's covering it. Also, in that case, says Rav Nachman, you're not allowed to pull out this radish on Shabbos. Okay, Omer of Adabar Ava, Omer de Beirav, they said in the Beis HaMedrash, they said that Tanina, that our Mishnah is the like of Nachman, is not like Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman seems to say that even though you're moving the earth aside, Kilach Hayad, it's tiltul min hatzad. You're not doing it directly. You're not touching the earth and moving it away. You're pulling up a radish, and the radish is by default, because the wider part of the radish is lower down, it's going to push some earth out of the way. And Rav Nachman says, it's also, and it seems to be contradicted by our Mishnah. Hakash shal gabe amito, if you have straw on the bed, lo yana'aneu biyodo, you're not allowed to move it with your hand, it's muktza. Aval menanu begufo, you're allowed to move it by wriggling around your body. So why should wriggling your body around on the straw, which is muktza, be different than moving the earth aside by lifting up the radish? That was the continuation of the Mishnah, that in some cases the straw is not mukta at all, and then you can move it with your hand. But shma mino, either way, you see from our Mishnah, tiltul min hatzad lo yishmei tiltul. In our Mishnah, you see that even something is mukta, if you're moving it from the side, it's allowed. Shma mino, so you have proof from our Mishnah, not like Rav Nachman, and according to our Mishnah, even if the radish, the wide side, was lower down, one would be allowed to lift up the radish, even though some of the earth will be pushed aside. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda, hani pilpili, these peppers, meidak, you're allowed to crush them, choda, choda, one at a time. As long as you don't crush a lot, crushing a lot of them together would be similar to the malacha of crushing on Shabbos, which is asa. But crushing them one by one is not considered grinding, and it's considered doing it kelachayad in an unusual way, and therefore it's muta. And how do you do this? How do you crush them? Bekota de sakina, with the handle of a knife. You don't do it in a regular way. You crush it using the handle of a knife. Shori, and then it's muta. Tarati, but to do this, to crush two at a time, even though you're using a handle of a knife, to crush two of these peppers like that, osir, is going to be osir. Rava Oma, Rava argues with Rav Yehuda and says, Kiven de Meshani, since you're deviating from the normal way of doing it, and you're doing this using the back of a knife, afilu tuva nami, since you're not grinding it in a typical, with a typical tool used for crushing and grinding, you're allowed to do it even a lot at a time. You don't need to do this one pepper at a time. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda, man de sochi b'maya. If somebody is swimming in a stream of water, lingiv nafshei bereisha, he should first dry himself down properly, v'hod lesalik, and then he should go away from where the water is. Why? Dilma osi le'esuye dalad amas. Maybe if he doesn't do that, he'll have some water still on his body. He'll be carrying that water for amas b'karmelis. The area surrounding the stream is typically going to be a karmelis, which minatayra is not considered a public domain, but the Rabbonon gave it a status of a similar to public domain, that you're not allowed to carry there more than four amas, and therefore make sure that you wipe yourself dry before you carry any of the water, or in order to avoid carrying the water for amos in a karmelis. Asks the Gemara, Ihachi, if you're worried about the water that's on the person's body, kikonochis, even when he goes into the water, into the stream, namiko dochi, koichoi, dalad amos va'osir. By him going into the water, he's going to be pushing some of the water, displacing some of the water, and pushing the water for amos away from him. The stream itself would have the status of a karmelis, and you're not allowed to push the water for amos. We just said now that in the karmelis, you're not allowed to carry this water or move the water for amos. So why are you only worried about when you're coming out of the stream? Why are you not worried in the stream? Says the Gemara, koichoi bekarmelis loy gozru. To move something directly when the water is on you and you're moving it, that the Chachamim said in the Karmelis is osa. But when you're not moving the water for amos, you're just pushing it. It's just his koicha, it's his strength. It's because he's pushing it, the water's moving itself, then that is one step further removed from typical carrying, and the Chachamim did not decree against this in the Karmelis. Continues the Gemara. Omer Abaya v'itemer of Yehuda, either Abaya or of Yehuda said, Tit shal gabe ragloi. If a person who's got clay, some clay stuck onto his foot, mekanchoi bekarka, he can scrape it off on the ground. Ve'ein mekanchoi bekoisel, but he's not allowed to scrape it off onto a wall. Why? Why are you not allowed to scrape it onto a wall? It looks like he's building. Well, typically on a wall, they would coat it with some lime or some clay. And here he is, he's got some clay on his foot and he's plastering it onto the wall. That looks very much like building, like boine. Says the Gemara, no. It's a very primitive type of building. It's like the peasants build that way. Normal people don't put clay on the walls. They put lime or plaster. They don't put clay on the walls. Rava says a different reason, or he actually says the other way around. You are allowed to wipe away the clay off your feet by rubbing it on the wall. But you're not allowed to rub it off on the ground. Why? You might come to level out the holes in the ground, and we've already seen previously, leveling out the holes in the ground is boine. Continues the Gemara. Itmar Marbere de Ravina Omar, Echodze ve Echodze Osor. Marbere de Ravina holds that you're not allowed to scrape your foot with the clay on, not on the floor, because of Ashve Gumois, and not on the wall, because it's like boine. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says, Echodze ve Echodze Mutter. Both of them you are allowed to do, because it's not called miscaven. You're not trying to build. It's true. Inevitably, there's going to be some, maybe a hole that's going to be leveled out, or you're going to be putting some clay on the walls, but it's not what your intention is. And we hold like Reb Shimon, who says that Dovosh Einim Miskaven, if it's not your intention, is Mutter. So asks the Gemara, Lemarbere de Ravina, B'may Mekanchile, what's the solution? Somebody who's got clay on his foot and he wants to wipe off the clay, according to Marbere de Ravina, says you're not allowed to do it on the floor and not on the wall. How's he going to get rid of this clay? Says the Gemara, Mekanchele Bekeira, he's going to wipe it off onto a beam, and on a beam there's no risk of Ashva Gumais, there's no holes in a beam, and it's not considered boineb because one doesn't put clay on a beam, and therefore that's how he can scrape off the clay off his foot. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rava, Loi leisiv inish apuma delichayo. We know, we've mentioned a couple of times, there's a concept called a mavui, an alleyway. An alleyway, even though it's surrounded, let's assume it's surrounded by three walls, and therefore, biblically speaking, one should be allowed to carry in it like a Rishus HaYachid. However, since on the fourth side is completely open, and it's open to a Rishus HaRabim, if you're going to carry in this mavui in the alleyway, you might by mistake come to carry from there into the Rishus HaRabim Chas V'Sholem, and that's Osa. So the Chachomim said that one of the things you have to do is you have to fix up the mavui by making a heker, some sign at the entrance of the mavui to remind you, don't go beyond this. So the signs was one of two things. We'll learn more about this later on in Maseches Erevin. But either you put a koire, a beam across the top of the mavui at the edge, or a lechi, which is a plank. You put a plank of wood, a post at the edge on one of the walls at the entrance of the mavui, and that post serves as a heker, as a reminder. What happens if somebody is sitting with his back to back, with his back leaning onto the lechi? So he's there at the edge of the mavui, but he cannot see the lechi because he's leaning on it. So Rava says a person should not sit apuma de lechayayo at the mouth of the mavui, where this post is. Dilma migandro leichefut. Maybe an object is going to roll past him. He's going to be sitting there. He's going to think, I'm sitting in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to move something. If it's less than 4 amas, you're allowed to move it from A to B. So this, let's say a ball is going to roll out of the mavui. He's going to think, what's wrong? I'll move it from my left to my right. What's the problem? And he's not going to realize that on his left was the Rosh Hashanah and on the right is the Rosh Hashanah. And he's not going to notice where the mavui ends and where the Rosh Hashanah starts, because the post that's supposed to serve as a reminder is behind him. And then he's going to be carrying from the Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, and that's seriously also. That's why Rava said the person should not sit with his back to the lechi. Another halacha says, Rava v'omar Rava, lo'litzdad inish kuba. Person should not rock around a barrel trying to straighten it out on the ground. By doing that, you may come to level out some holes, some crevices in the ground, and that's an issue with boine. Another halacha of Omar Rava, loy lihaduk inish udra bepuma deshisha. A person should not pack a muchin, which is a type of material, onto the mouth of a jug. Dil ma'asi lidei schita, because the mouth of the jug is typically wet. And if you're going to push this material or this fur into the mouth of the pach of this jug, you're going to be transgressing the avera of seichet, of squeezing. Now, seichet itself is not one of the lamutes melochas, and there's a discussion in the Mefarashim what the issue is with squeezing. Is it because it's similar to whitening, to melabin, or is it similar to mefarik, which is like threshing? It's a discussion. Some suggest that the whole issue here is only if the material you're squeezing into the top of the jug is wet material, and then if the material is wet, you'll be squeezing it when you push it in. However, if it's dry materials, there's no problem with that. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Kahana. Tit shal gabi bigdoi. If somebody has some clay, some mud stuck that's dirtied his clothes, then regularly rubbing it away, that you're not allowed to do. Because it looks like you're cleaning, it looks like melabin, like whitening. It's not really melabin, because melabin is only for using water, and here you just want to scrape it off. But since it's similar to melabin, because you're cleaning the garment, therefore one's not allowed to do it in a normal fashion. What you're allowed to do, mechaskesoy mibifnim. You're allowed to, from the inside, you can rub it, put your hand inside the garment on the clean side, rub it from the inside, and that way the clay, the mud, will fall off. And since you're doing it from the inside, it does not look like melabin and is mutter. Ve'ein mekaskasei mibachutz, but you're not allowed to rub it from the outside, because that's a little bit too close to cleaning, and cleaning will look like melabin, like whitening, which is osa. Meisvei, tit shal gabe min oloi. If a person has some clay stuck to his shoe, megaroi begav sakin, you're allowed to scrape away this tit with the back of a knife, v'sha'al bigdoi, and if this mud is on his clothes, megaroi b'tzipoirin, you're allowed to scrape it away using your nail, or b'lvad shalo yikaskis, but you shouldn't rub it. You can scrape off the clay, but you're not allowed to rub the clothes. My love, shalo yikaskis klal. From there you see, you're not allowed to rub the clothes at all. And that's contrary to what Rav Kahana said, that you're allowed to rub it from the inside. Says the Gemara, loy, do not deduce from there that you're not allowed to rub it at all. Shalo yikaskis mibachutz. All the Braisa meant to say is you're not allowed to rub it from the outside where the stain is. Aval mibifnim, but to rub it from the inside, that you're allowed to do. And either way, you're allowed to scrape it off with the back of a knife. Omer bavo, omer beloza, omer b'yanei. We saw before in that at the beginning of the Braisa that megarin manul chodosh. When the Braisa said that tit shal gabe min oloi megarri begav sakin, you're allowed to scrape off the mud from shoe on Shabbos. So Rav Yana is saying that's only a new shoe. Avalo yoshon, but an old shoe, that rubbing it with the back of the knife is going to be scraping it and possibly peeling off a layer of the leather, and that is similar to mamachik, to smoothing out leather, and that's osa on Shabbos. Bameh megarroi, if you have a new shoe, with what are you allowed to scrape off the mud? Omer bavo, begav sakin, with the back of a knife, as we saw. Omer lei hahu saba, this elder, this sage, said to Rabavo, somi didcho, you should delete, put aside what you just said, Rebavo, mikame ha de toni Rebchia, in order to make space for a different, a contrary opinion of Rebchia. Rebchia says, ein megarin loy min ol chodosh v'loy min ol yoshon. You're not allowed to scrape, not a new shoe and not an old shoe on Shabbos. V'lo yosuch, another halacha with the shoes, v'lo yosuch es ragloi b'shemen. You're not allowed to anoint your feet with oil. V'hu b'soicha min'ol, whilst your foot is in the shoe, because that way you're going to be putting oil onto the shoe, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Oy besech a sandal, or whilst your foot is in a sandal, also made of leather, and putting oil on a leather shoe is similar, or is bordering on the issa of ma'abed, of tanning. Aval soch es ragloi shemen, you're allowed to anoint your foot with oil, umaniach, and after that, you can put your foot, besech a minol, oy besech a sandal, you can put it into the shoe, or into the sandal. Vesoch kol gufoy shemen, you're allowed to anoint your whole body with oil, umisagel, and you can roll around al gabe katavalyo, on a leather sheet, and even though the oil is then going to be going onto this leather sheet. Ve'ene choshesh, and he's got nothing to worry about. Omer Rav Chisda, lo yishonu elo letzachtzachay. Rav Chisda said that you're only allowed to put, in what case are you allowed to anoint your foot and then put your foot into a leather shoe, is only if your intention was just to polish the shoe with the oil that's going to drip from his foot onto the shoe or onto the sandal. Avla abdo, if your intention is to tan the oil, to tan the leather, also la abdo, you're not allowed to do ibud, you're not allowed to tan on Shabbos. Says the Gemara Pshita, why do you need to tell us this? It goes without saying. Everybody knows that you're not allowed to tan on Shabbos. V'su, and more than that, letzachtzachoy, if you have intentions to shine a shoe, and you do it intentionally, mi'ikam mandashori, does anyone say it's muta? Of course it's osa. It's osa. The Chachomim said it's osa, because if you're going to allow a person to polish the leather, he's going to come to tan the leather. Eloi itmer, hochi itmer, you have to say it as follows. Omer of Chizda, loishonu elo shi'ur letzachtzachoy. If you intend to polish the shoe, it's also asa. If you're not intending to polish your shoe, you're intending just to anoint your skin, then it's allowed on condition that the amount of oil that's going to then come off your foot onto the shoe is not more than would be enough if all you wanted to do was polish it. Aval shiur la'abde asur, but to put on so much oil that amount of oil could tan the leather, that is asa, even if you don't intend for it to go onto the shoe. And now we're going to learn another halacha regarding the shoes. Tanu Rabbanon, lo yetzei koton b'min al godel. A person with a small foot should not go out into Rishus HaRabim wearing a large shoe. Why? Because it might, in the middle of the way, the shoe might fall off him, and he's going to end up carrying it in Rishus HaRabim. Aval yetzehu b'choluk godel, but wearing a cloak or a shirt which is much too big for him, that is allowed, because it won't fall off on its own, and he won't take it off because nobody wants to go walking in the streets dressed inappropriately, or more accurately, undressed. Continues the Gemara of Loisete Isha B'min Ol Marupot, a woman that is typically very particular to go out looking respectable and put together, she should not go out into the Rishus HaRabim, into the public, with torn shoes, because maybe she's going to then get embarrassed, or people are going to laugh at her, and then she's going to end up carrying it in the Rishus HaRabim. We know there's a mitzvah called chalitza. If somebody, chas v'shalom, dies without children, his wife then has a mitzvah to marry the brother of her deceased husband, and if either one of them do not want to get married, then they do a chalitza. And part of the chalitza ceremony is using a minol, a shoe. And you shouldn't look at chila, you should not use such a shoe, because it's not a preferable type of shoe. It's a worn-out shoe, it's a torn shoe. However, v'imchaltza, if she did chalitza with such a shoe, chalitza sokshera, then the chalitza is valid. Another halacha, v'ein yoitzin b'min al chadosh, one should not go out with a brand new shoe that's never been worn, and you're not sure if this shoe is actually going to fit you and it's the right size. Be'ez min al omru, which type of shoe are we talking about? B'min al shal isha, with the shoe of a woman, because a woman is going to be much more particular that the shoe fits her, and if she's not sure that it's going to fit her, she'll go out with it. It won't fit her, she'll carry it on Shabbos, and that's osa. Tony Bar Kapora, however, Bar Kapora said, Loi shanu elu shaloyot so boi sho achas mi boi dyoim. This halacha is only true if she hasn't worn it for a little while before Shabbos, to make sure it's the right size. Aval yotzo boy me'erev Shabbos, if she went out with these shoes before Shabbos and she knows they fit properly, mutar, even though they're new shoes, she's allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. And here we're going to learn about the following case. In the way they made shoes, and probably still make shoes, is that the leather was tied or was around a mold, a frame which is the shape of a foot. On there they would put the shoe, and they would make the shoe, sew the shoe, and then when the shoe was ready, then they would take the shoe off this contraption, it would be ready to be worn. Now, there's a number of issues here. A shoe that's not yet ready is not called a shoe. It's not called a kli. It's just a piece of leather in the making. Not being a kli has a number of ramifications. Number one, in Hilchas Tuma Vatara, if it's not a kli, it cannot become tummy. Number two, in Hilchas Shabbos, something that's not a kli is not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. Now we're going to have a discussion if a shoe is, for all intents and purposes, has been completed, but it's still firmly fixed onto this mold. Is one allowed to release this mold, release the shoe from the mold on Shabbos, or is that also part of the process? That means, is the shoe considered a shoe even whilst it's still on the mold and hasn't been released? Or do we say no, since the complications of releasing the shoe is part of the process, therefore until it's actually been released, you're not allowed, it's not considered a shoe, it's not considered a keli. And that's what we're going to discuss here. Tony Chodin, one brisa we learned, Shemtin min ol me'al gabe imus. This form, this mold is called an imus. And the first brisa says you're allowed to slip a shoe off this imus on Shabbos. V'tanya idoch, in another brisa we learned, Ein Shemtin, you're not allowed to remove this shoe from this frame. And the Gemara says, Loi kasha, ha Reb Eliezer. The brisa that says you're not allowed to maintains that this shoe is not considered yet a kli until it's off the imus, and therefore whilst it's still on this imus, it's not considered a kli, and therefore it's muktzah, you're not allowed to move it. And ha rabbonon, and the brisa that says that you are allowed to remove it on Shabbos holds that as once it's been completed, even though it's still on this imus, it's considered a kli, the shoe is finished, and therefore it's not muktzah. And that's going to be a machlokes, Reb Eliezer and the Rabbonon. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, min ol shal gabi imus, a shoe that is still on this frame. Reb Eliezer matayr, Reb Eliezer says, all the while the shoe has not been removed from this imus, it's not considered a kli. And then it makes sense, you're not allowed to remove it on Shabbos either. V'chachomim matamim, the chachomim say it can become tomei whilst it's still on the frame. They obviously hold it's considered a kli even whilst it's on the frame, and therefore on Shabbos you'd be allowed to remove it. And says the Gemara, and now we're only talking according to the Rabbonon, that the shoe is called a kli. The shoe itself is not muktzah. However, the imus itself is muktzah. It's a kli shemelachta le'issa. It's used in order to make shoes. You're not allowed to make shoes on Shabbos. And in order to release the shoe, you're going to have to move the imus. You're going to have to maneuver it. Is that allowed? So the Gemara says, Honicha l'rava, according to Rava, the Omaru holds dovah shemelachta le'issa, a type of vessel, utensil, which its prime and primary purpose is to do an issa on Shabbos. Bein etzayrich gufay, bein etzayrich mekoymei mutar. You're allowed to move it, either to use it or to make space for where it was. Shapir, then we can understand. Now this frame is in the middle of the shoe. It's in the shoe. I want to put my foot in the shoe. So I'm allowed to move the omus away. I'm allowed to take the shoe and move away this frame in order to allow me to put my foot in the shoe. That's called the tzayrich mekoymei, and it's muta. Also, according to Abaye, who says that klisha melachta le'isser, you're only allowed to move if you want to use it, but not if you want to move it away to make space for something else. Michael Amemar, it doesn't help you that the Rabbonon say that it could be mekabel tumah, and therefore it's called a kli. Okay, you're allowed to move the shoe, but you're not allowed to move the imos. How are you going to release it? Says the Gemara, Hochav Mayaskinon Barofui. We're talking about where it's very loose and you can slip the shoe off without needing to move this frame, this model, and therefore there's no issue, you're allowed to move the shoe away. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Hoya Rofu Imutu, we even have a Braisa, the Braisa says explicitly, Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa says, that only if it's loose, then you're allowed to move it. And now the Gemara is going to explain and ask a question from this. Now that we have an explicit Braisa that says you're only allowed to take the shoe off, if it's loose, so number one, the fact that you're allowed to move the shoe means this Braisa follows the Rabbonon that the shoe is called a Kli. Okay. How about the Machlokes Abaye Varava? What's going to happen with that? Says the Gemara, Taima Derofui, from the Braisa you see that the only reason you're allowed to remove the shoe is because it's loosely on this mold. Ha Loi Rofui, if it would be tightly on the mold, Loi, you're not allowed to move it away. So says the Gemara, Ha Nichel Abaye, Kunta Abaye, Do Omar Dova Shemelachte L'Isser, L'Tzerich Gufay Mutter, L'Tzerich Mekoy Me Osor, a Kunta Abaye that says that you're not allowed to move a klisha melachta l'issa, full of tzorech mekoyme. I can understand that Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa says you're only allowed to move it if it's loose. Elo, l'rova, according to Rava that says the omar bein tzorech gufoy, bein tzorech mekoyme mutter, ma'ire rofoy, afilu loy rofoy nami. According to Rava, it's now going to be a question, why does the Braisa say you can only remove the shoe? If it's loose, why can't you remove it even if it's fixed? And you have to move the omus, so you'll move this imus. So what? You're allowed to move it l'tzerich mekoymai. So the Braisa is almost a question against Rava. Says the Gemara, Ahid Reb Yehuda, that Braisa is mishum de Reb Eliezahu. It's not that the Braisa holds like the Rabbonon that the shoe is finished, and the shoe is not mukta. And the whole discussion is, are you allowed to move the imus or not? No, this Braisa is following Reb Eliezer that says that the shoe is not considered finished, and therefore, even without nothing to do with the imus, the shoe itself is mukta. And for that, the Braisa is saying that if the shoe is still firmly fixed, at that point, it's still considered an unready and unfinished shoe, and therefore you're not allowed to move it at all. However, if it's loose, then it's already considered that it's the shoe is finished. Once the shoe is finished, you're allowed to move it. You're allowed to move the shoe, and you're also allowed to move the imus if you have to. L'tzerich mekoymai. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer Im Hoya Rofui Muta. It's explicit in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said what he said, only because he held of Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer says that a shoe that's still firmly fixed on the imus is considered an unfinished shoe, and therefore only if it's rofui, if it's already somewhat loose and it's not anymore firmly fixed on this imus, only at that point the shoe is considered a shoe, it's considered a kli and muta, and one's allowed to move it on Shabbos. Hadron aloch toilin, b'siyata deshmai, we finished learning Perek Toilin, with Mitzvah Hashem we're going to do Chazorah of Perek Toilin, and we're going to start Perek Noitel straight away. Says the Mishnah, Noitel Odom, a person is allowed to carry, and we're talking here about a chotzer. This is not an issue of carrying in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, this is an issue about mukta. Noitel Odom, a person is allowed to carry as benoi his son, v'ho'evin b'yodoi, even though his little child is carrying a stone is mukta machmas gufa, you're not allowed to move it for any reason, but you're not carrying the stone. And Rashi makes a point, and in the Gemara, it's going to change a little bit. But at this point in time, we understand that since you're not carrying the stone, you're carrying the child is carrying the stone, then we assume, we don't look at it as if you're carrying the stone. And therefore, noitel odom es benoi, ve'even biyodoi. V'kalkolo, a person is allowed to carry a basket, ve'even b'soicha, even though besides for all the fruits, the vegetables, the produce in this basket, there's also a stone there, you're allowed to move the basket because of all the mutter things that are in there. The stone is there as well. You're allowed to move this basket. Umataltilin truma tamea im hatahira v'im chulin. We know that truma tamea is not allowed to be eaten. You're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. What happens if you have truma tamea mixed together with truma tahira in the same basket? Or if you have truma tamea not with truma tahira but with chulin, all mixed together, then you're allowed to move the whole basket even though part of it is truma tamea that you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af malin es hamaduma be'echod umea. There's a halacha that we know that, and we're going to learn as we go through Shas, we're going to learn different rules about this, but there are different ways that something osir, when it gets blended and mixed into something mutter, that we just disregard the issa and it all becomes mutter. Sometimes, if you have roiv, if you have more heter over issa, that's already enough, that we disregard the minority. Sometimes, you need 60 times a mutter against the issa before we disregard the issa. Sometimes, you need 100 times more. One of those examples is truma. Truma is only allowed to be eaten by a kohen. Betara. What happens if truma falls into chulin? Then if there's 100 times more chulin than truma, we disregard the truma and you're allowed to eat the whole thing. But there's a halacha that says that you have to take away this, the amount of truma that fell in, you have to separate that from this whole mixture in order that the kohanim shouldn't lose. You take away that amount from this whole mixture, that will be given to the kohanim, and the rest of the mixture, even though you don't know where the truma is, since there was 100 times more chulin over truma, you're allowed to eat the whole thing. So Rabbi Yehuda says that on that af malin es hamaduma. Maduma means the mixture. Malin means that you take away the part, the amount, the measure that of truma that was in here. You're allowed to take that out. Be'echod b'me'ah, in the event that the mixture is mutter because there's 100 times more heter than truma, you're allowed to even take away this part for the kohen. You're allowed to even do that on Shabbos, even though till you do that, you're not allowed to eat from this. So I may have thought it's also to do it on Shabbos because you're fixing this whole mixture, you're fixing it now because till you do this, you cannot eat it. Now you can eat it. Nonetheless, and we'll see in the Gemara why, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava. Rava said the following halacha, and we have to see soon how that works with the Mishnah. It seems to be contradicting the Mishnah somewhat. Omar Rava. Hoitzi tinoik chai. If somebody carries a child, a live child, carries it in Rosh Hashanah for Amos, or carries it from Rosh Hashayochid into Rosh Hashanah, v'kis toli b'tzavori, and round the child's neck, he's got a pouch. So for all intents and purposes, this person is carrying the child, and he's carrying the pouch. Chayev mishum kis. He's chayev for carrying the pouch. Even though in our Mishnah we saw that if you carry a child and the child's holding a stone, we do not look at it as if you're carrying the stone. Over here we see it seems to be the opposite. It says that if you carry the child and the child has a pouch around his neck, it's as if you're carrying the pouch and you're going to be chayev for carrying the pouch. Tinuk meis, if, however, this child is unfortunately not alive anymore, v'kis tolu lo b'tzavori, and there's a pouch around his neck, potter. In that case, he's potter from carrying this child, and he's potter for the pouch around his neck. That's what Rava said, and now we have to try and understand this. Tinik chai, v'kis tolu lo b'tzavori, chayev mishum kis. The first halacha Rava said was that if you carry a live child, and there's a pouch around his neck, you're chayev for carrying the pouch. Asks the Gemara of Lechayev Nami Mishum Tinoik. Why are you not saying he's chayev, he's carrying a child? And before in the Mishnah we were talking about that it's in the Chotzer, it's Rosh Hashayochid, there's no problem with carrying the child. The whole question is whether it's called you're carrying the stone, and it's a question of Mukta. Now it's a question of carrying. What's the difference if it's the child or the stone or the pouch? You're not allowed to carry outside. Why are you not chayev for carrying the child? Rava holds like Reb Nosson, De Omar Chai Noises Atzmoy. We've already seen this in the Gemara previously. A live person carries his own weight, and therefore when you carry a live person, it's not as if you are entirely carrying this person, and therefore you're not chayev to carry a person. The pouch, however, you'll be chayev for. Asks the Gemara, V'livatel kis legabe tinoik. Why do you, Rava, say that you're chayev for the pouch? Why don't you say that the pouch is just an accessory, is bottle, is an accessory to the child, and you're not chayev for carrying the child, so you won't be chayev for carrying the pouch? Miloitnan, do we not find a similar thing in a Mishnah? In Erevin, Esachai b'mito, if you carry a live person when he's lying on a bed, potur af alamito. Not only are you potter for carrying the live person, as we saw, chai noises atzmo, you're never chai for carrying a live person, but you're also potter for the bed that you're carrying. Shehamitot feileloi, because the bed is considered just secondary, is considered an accessory and bottle and toffle to the person. So why don't you say the same here with the pouch? Says the Gemara, no. Mito, by a bed, I can understand. Mito legabichai, a bed for a live person, mevatlele. It's an accessory, it's serving the person. So if you're not chayef for carrying the person, you're not chayef for the bed. However, kis legabitinek le mevatlele. This pouch is not serving the child, it's not bottled to the child, it's not toffled to the child, and therefore you'll be chayef because it's as if you carried the pouch. And we'll soon get back to that. The next halacha of Rava was tinuk meis, if you carried a dead child, v'kis tolu lo b'tzavori, and there's a pouch round his neck, potter, you're potter completely. Asks the Gemara v'lechayev mishum tinuk. The whole reason that you're not chayev for carrying a live child is because chay noisias atzmoy, a live person, carries his own weight. A dead child doesn't carry its own weight. Why are you not chayev for carrying out the child? Says the Gemara, Rava krip shimon svirulei, Rava holds like Rav Shimon, de Omar kol melochosh eina tzricha legufa potur oleo. When you're carrying a dead child from the Roshos HaYochid into the Roshos HaRabim, then according to Reb Yehuda that says that melochosh eina tzricha legufa is chayev over here, what's the melocha? The activity is taking something into the Roshos HaRabim from the Roshos HaYochid. It doesn't matter whether you need it in the Roshos HaRabim or you don't need it in the Roshos HaRabim, you're chayev. According to Reb Shimon, you're only chayev if you actually need it in the Roshos HaRabim. Over here, you need the child in the Roshos HaRabim? Absolutely not. You just don't want it in the Roshos HaYochid, so you're disposing of it. But it's not called you need it in the Roshos HaRabim. It's called the Melocha She'eino Tzricha Legufa. And according to Reb Shimon, you'll be potter. Continues the Gemara. Tnan, we saw in our Mishnah, Noitil Odom es benoi v'ho even biyodoi. A person is allowed to carry his child, and it's not considered as if you're carrying the stone that the child is carrying. The Mishnah is talking about mukta, but the fact that the child is carrying something and you're carrying the child does not mean you're carrying the stone. According to Rava, that says that if you carry a live child and the child is carrying or has a pouch around its neck, you're chayev for the pouch. Because Rava says that anything the child is carrying, it's as if you're carrying it. And that seems to be contrary to what it says in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Omra de Beir Avyanai, Betinuk Shiesh Lo Yigaguim Al Oviv. The truth is that the pshat in the Mishnah is not that if you're carrying a child and the child is carrying something else, that you're not carrying that something else. No. If you carry the child and the child is carrying a stone, it's as if you're carrying the stone, indirectly, but it's as if you're carrying the stone. And therefore it should be a problem of mukta. However, the Mishnah is talking about a specific case that we wavered mukta. Why? Because if we're talking about a child that has got longing for his father, and a child that yearns and longs for his father, and the father doesn't come to pick up the child, then the child could get sick, not pikuach nefesh, but could get sick, and therefore they wavered the halachas of muktzah in order to protect the emotional welfare of the child. Asks the Gemara, all the while that we thought that pshat in the Mishnah was that it's as if you didn't carry the stone, it's as if the child is carrying the stone, then we can understand that in the event that the child is carrying a gold coin, that it should be worse, because the Mishnah only speaks about a stone. If the child's carrying a coin, it would be also. And we could understand, even though the child might get a little bit sick from the fact that he's longing for his father, but there's an issue here. All if he's holding a stone and the stone falls down, the father's not going to bother picking up the stone, so the father's not going to transgress mukta. However, if the child is holding a gold coin, the gold coin is going to fall on the floor, the father might pick it up. So we can understand, you're not allowed to pick it up, it's mukta, and you're actually touching the mukta. You're not allowed to do that. So then I can understand the Mishnah's talking about a stone. But now post Rava, and we said that even when you're carrying the child and the child is carrying the stone, it's as if you're carrying the stone. It's not as if the child's carrying the stone. No, you're carrying the stone. And we've wavered mukta for the welfare of the child, then what's the difference if he's carrying a stone or if he's carrying a gold coin? The same way as carrying the child, you're carrying the stone, you're transgressing muktzah, and we allow you to do that because the child will get sick. So if he's holding a gold coin, it's the same thing. What's the worst that will happen? That the child's going to drop the coin, the father's going to pick it up. Okay, so he's touched muktzah. No different to the stone that the child is holding, and it's as if the father's carrying the stone. It's also muktzah. That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Ihochi, now that we say that when your child's carrying the stone, it's as if you are carrying muktzah, and we waver the muktzah for the child because of the gaguin, my iria evan, why are you speaking only about a stone? A fila dinar nami, even a gold coin also. Aloma omar Rava, why did Rava say lo yishonu elo evan? The Mishnah only allowed you to carry a child in the chotzer when he's holding a stone, aval dinar osa. If he's holding a gold coin, it's osa. Answers the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Even though when the child's carrying the stone, it's as if the father's carrying the stone, and we only allowed him to waver the muktzah because the child has gaguin, nonetheless, there's a difference between whether you are touching the muktzah directly or you're touching it indirectly. When you're transgressing muktzah, but not directly, you're doing it by way of the child. I'm carrying the child, and the child's carrying the muktzah, and according to Rav, it's as if I'm carrying the muktzah, but I'm not actually touching the muktzah. I'm carrying the muktzah, I'm not touching the muktzah. And that's why we allowed it. If the gold coin drops on the floor, you're going to pick it up with your bare hands. That's worse. And therefore, we do not allow you to take the risk of actually touching the muktzah, even though we allow you to move the child who's holding a stone, even though it's considered as if you're carrying the stone. If the stone drops, the father will not pick it up. Dinner, if the gold coin drops down, the father will pick it up. And not only before Rava, pre-Rava, when we thought that if the child carries the stone, it's not as if I'm carrying the stone, then it's easy to understand why a gold coin should be worse, because then you're going to be picking up the gold coin and transgressing muktzah. But even after Rava, that says that you are transgressing muktzah when the child's holding the stone, and nonetheless it's allowed because the child is in distress, even with that understanding, lifting up a gold coin is even worse. That's how Tosfos, printed in Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, explains this Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavaseid Rava, we have a Braisa like Rava, the Amoitzi Kelov Mekupolim. If somebody carries out clothes, whilst, you know, folded up clothes, not wearing them, he's just carrying the clothes in his hand, Umanochin al Kseifoi, or the clothes are on his shoulders, but he's not wearing them, Vesandalov Taboisov Be Yodoi, or his sandals or his rings are in his hands, Chayev, he's carrying, he's Chayev on Shabbos. V'im hoya melubash bohen, if he's wearing all these things, if he's wearing the clothes, or he's wearing his shoes, he's wearing his rings, potter, of course he's going to be a potter, because they're just accessories of this person, they're his clothes, and there's nothing wrong with doing that on Shabbos. Hamoitzi odom, if somebody carries, if Ruven carries Shimon, v'keilov olov, v'sandalov beraglov, v'taboisov beyodov, and this Shimon that Ruven is carrying is wearing clothes, wearing shoes, wearing his fingers on his rings on his finger, potter, then obviously Reuven is not going to be chayav for those clothes. Ve'ilu haitzion k'mois shehein, but if this Shimon that Reuven is carrying is not wearing the clothes, but he's carrying the clothes, chayav, then Reuven is going to be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. So you see, like Rava, that if Reuven carries Shimon, and Shimon carries something in the streets, it's as if Reuven is carrying those clothes, similar to what Rava said, that if you carry the child, and the child has a pouch around its neck, or in the case of the Mishnah, if you carry a child and the child is holding a stone, it's as if you're carrying the pouch, it's as if you're carrying the stone. And that's a proof to Rava. In the Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.